on a swivel, and the pair locked eyes. For a single moment, the camp went still, as everything was suppressed by the builder's aura, the strongest he could produce with his current vessel. The sound of battle faded as the builder's minions fell still and the monsters were cowed. In the strange, eerie silence, Jason and the builder looked at one another. Jason walked forward, past the stilled minions and fearful monsters, holding the builder's gaze. The builder was not a rancher, farmer, or anyone else who worked with cattle or other livestock. If he had been, he might have had some idea what happens when a very large number of very scared animals are held together in an enclosed space. The fear-induced stillness of the monsters only lasted for a strangely silent moment before the spell was broken. Panic took over. Chaos exploded over the camp like a bomb as the monsters went wild and screams of terror rent the air. The monsters tried to stampede, but they had packed themselves into the camp and the walls now boxed them in. That didn't stop their mad scramble to escape, the crush turning the camp into a furious meat grinder. Even the previous melee seemed like a quiet church service in comparison. The converted and constructs were once again triggered into combat mode, but the monsters didn't even fight back in their desperation to escape the terrifying presence of the builder. They were more dangerous in their panicked crush than they had been in berserker rage. The team's aura training had included having their aura suppressed, so they weren't debilitated, although it left them extremely uneasy as they once more fought their way towards the tower. Sophie made to go after Jason, but was yanked back by Humphrey.
"He has his job," Humphrey yelled at her over the din. "And we have ours."
The eye of the storm was the empty space around the builder, the place the monsters were pushing into one another to avoid. Jason stepped into that space. The two looked at each other, with a bizarre calm amidst the fury going on around them.
"Here we are," Jason said. "I'm just telling you now, so you don't say you weren't warned. This time, I brought pants."
Chapter 67. Outmatched. The walls of the encampment had become a prison to the monsters driven to panic by the builder's aura. They were stampeding, with nowhere to stampede to, a wild crush that was catching up the cultists and the constructs and converted that served them. It was somewhere between a juice press and a meat grinder. The air was filled with the sounds of combat and terror. The monsters let out a menagerie of shrieks, cries, and roars. Cultists were yelling, trying to direct the constructs and converted. The automaton servitors made no sound themselves, but the sound of their destruction at the claws of frenzied monsters added to the storm of noise. There was one space of eerie calm. No matter how scared or driven to madness they were, no monster would draw close to the builder. In the eye of the storm, two figures stood still, staring each other down. The builder wore Thadwick Mercer's face. Instead of the snide, entitled expression, there was now an incredible presence animating what were actually quite handsome features. Instead of arrogance, there was a confidence that transcended the mortal shape it inhabited. That shape was still intact, the builder's power not yet taxing it to the point of breaking down. The builder cut a heroic figure, facing off against Jason's sinister, shadowy appearance. Over flowing black combat robes was his cloak of night, a veil of darkness and starlight with the promise of mystery and power.
"You have an inflated sense of your own importance," the builder said.
It spoke softly, yet its words carried perfectly to Jason, even over the cacophonous din around them.
"Yep," Jason agreed. He also spoke softly, having no doubt the builder could hear him as well.
"You think all this will let you stop me?" the builder asked.
"It would be a lot of trouble to go to if I didn't," Jason said.
"I'm not going to kill you," the builder said. "You have caused me trouble enough that I will make an example of you. The next person looking to cross me will think twice when they learned what happened to you."
"Really?"
Jason asked, his voice thick with derision. You try and use my soul as a hand puppet, and you want revenge because I didn't let you? For a great astral being, that's very human.
Do not try and bring me down to your level.
You're already here, mate, but that's not on me. I'm just some random, low-ranked bloke trying to make his way in the world. Or worlds, plural, I guess. You saw some idiot sling a soul your way, you tried to snatch it up, and it didn't work out. You could have left it at that, but you just couldn't let it go. You brought yourself down to my level, and here we are. Well, slightly above my level. Frankly, you could do with a nerf, just for fairness. For all your vast cosmic power, at the end of the day, you're a sentient being, just like the rest of us. I guess pride is a hard vice to shake, operating at your level.
Do you think I don't see through what you are doing?
The Builder said. Engaging in classic hero-villain banter? I won't lie, this is something of a dream come true for me.
Whatever your companions are doing, they will not succeed. Zeta will stop them.
That's funny, Jason said. I believe in my friends too. We have that in common.
I adjusted Zato's body modifications personally, the Builder said. Even after the consumption of his essences, he is stronger than he ever was as a mere essence user.
The team knocked off a silver rank essence user already. They can deal with your little hand puppet.
You killed Hendren through the escalating power of your flesh-rotting abilities. I reforged Zato in such a way those powers cannot harm him. Even if you were with them to help, your powers would be futile. But you are not with them. I will capture you, and he will capture them. I will claim their souls, and they will be the ones to kill you, slowly and painfully. I will record it all, that every being that serves me will see for themselves the fate of the great Rejector. You will be a useful recruiting tool.
Yet, ironically, the one acting like a huge tool is you.
Name-calling is the best response you can muster.
You've been inside my brain, Jason said. So you know that it pretty much is, yeah. I'm being facetious, though. In all honesty, that was some solid villain monologuing. You should look into getting a weather machine.
You still believe you can win, the Builder said. This is not a matter of win or lose. It is a matter of how long it takes for my intentions to be realized.
How about a compromise? Jason asked. We could give you something else instead of huge strips peeled off the side of reality. How do you feel about delicious sandwiches?
You are tiresome, the Builder said. It's time to end this.
Jason felt magic surge in the ground beneath him. He vanished into his shadow as two slabs made of the ground beneath him rose up to snap together like a bear trap. All they caught was the body of Shade left behind, which was unharmed. Just a tip, Jason called out from within the monster scrum. You shouldn't warn people that you're about to make a sneak attack. The Builder gestured in the direction Jason's voice had come, and a wave of stone spikes rose up from the Builder's feet and crashed into the monsters. Jason, in the meantime, emerged from the other direction and lunged at the Builder. A wall rose up in his face, blocking him off, before exploding over him, thousands of razor fragments storming over him like a hurricane in a gravel quarry. His cloak danced to life, a forest of dark tendrils zipping out to intercept the projectiles. Most of the fragments blew past him, while the rest fell harmlessly at his feet. Jason dashed into the melee. As it turned out, great astral beings had little use for martial arts skills, and the ones the Builder inherited from Thadwick were significantly subpar. Jason's dagger flashed rapidly, scoring quick marks on the Builder's flesh. Special attack, punish, has inflicted sin and mark of price of absolution on Builder's vessel. Transcendent power within Builder's vessel has negated these effects. Sin does not take effect. Price of absolution
does not take effect.
That's not good. The Builder grabbed Jason by the face. Gordon appeared with a surge of Jason's aura, and beams of blue and orange energy blasted from his four orbs. They focused on the Builder's arm, and the Builder let go of Jason, who vanished into his shadow again. A dozen spikes burst out of the ground and floated between the Builder and Gordon. The air around them shimmered, and the spikes launched out, tearing large rents in Gordon's incorporeal body. Gordon dissolved into a nebula and shot away into the crowd of monsters, where Jason had escaped to. Jason reabsorbed his familiar back into his aura. Each of the combatants were making unpleasant discoveries as they fought. Jason was the worst off, with the realization that he had no means to effectively harm the Builder. Even his strongest trump card, Colin, would be of no use when afflictions couldn't take hold. The best he could hope for was that his sword would be effective, which was a slim chance against the most powerful enemy he had ever faced. The Builder was discovering the limits of its vessel as well. Vessels were meant to be generals, not soldiers, and channeling even moderate amounts of power through them accelerated their degradation. This vessel in particular was weaker than it would normally tolerate, but this was a pursuit the Builder would undertake personally. Jason's words had found their mark when he said the Builder's pride as a great astral being had been pricked. Even with the considerable luck and circumstance that made it possible for Jason to win the battle for his soul, the fact remained that he had won. Given the disparity in their power, it was an intolerable record for a being of near-infinite power. If Asano died by any means but the Builder's own design, he would achieve a kind of immortality, as the Builder remembered the mortal who bested it for all eternity. This was not an outcome the great astral being was willing to tolerate. Unable to effectively fight, Jason was forced to flee. Unable to let him go, the Builder was forced to give chase. When the camp had been plunged into chaos, the rest of Jason's team started fighting their way through the madness. Like an icebreaker ship, they were a solid wedge, smashing a path through hostile and inhospitable territory. After the Builder's attempt to pacify the situation with its aura backfired so wildly, it had withdrawn it. This allowed the team's own auras to recover, but the damage was done as far as the monsters were concerned. The crush would not abate until they died or escaped the walls. The team had to fight past monsters, constructs, and converted, as they slowly made their way down the tiered levels of the camp. They didn't bother finishing off anything tough enough to survive a handful of attacks. Stopping to secure kills would only slow them down, and nothing was following them in the crazed shoulder-to-shoulder press. As they closed in on the tower, they found the monsters were pushing away from it, clearing something of a space as they jammed into one another to get away. The magic throbbing from the tower carried a similar feel to the Builder, and the monsters were terrified of it. The team spotted a large archway leading inside and made straight for it. As they did, a silvery metallic figure with crystal eyes stepped out. It radiated a silver rank aura, but not that of an essence user. It was strange and alien, like that of the Builder itself. "I am Zeto," it called out loudly over the noise. "If you submit now, things will go better for you. Either way, your souls will belong to the Builder. But if you join us willingly, you will keep your own mind. It is better to be a willing servant than a mindless slave."
"As much as we'd love the chance to turn into a shiny doorknob like you," Sophie said, "we're kind of busy. So we're going to start the fight now."
True to her word, Sophie lunged forward, Humphrey close behind. Belinda moved to protect the team from any stray monsters. Stash did the same as he took the form of a marsh hydra. Clive called out Onslow to join them, and Neil chanced pouring a salt circle to call up his golem. With the support of the familiars and the summon, Belinda formed a wall to cover the team's backs while they faced the danger in front of them. Months of constant fighting in the astral space was a whetstone that had honed the team to a razor-sharp edge. They each knew what the others would do before they went to do it, turning them from a team with strong synergies into a singular whole, moving and acting as one.
They had experienced what amounted to 3 monster surges back to back, struggling to keep up as the monsters grew more and more powerful. It had brought their skill, power, and experience to the point where they were literally transformed from the people they had been at the beginning. Even with all that growth in their power, skill, and teamwork, they barely managed to avoid immediate death as Zato counterattacked. Zato was not an unthinking construct, despite surrendering his organic body for shining metal. Nor was he a monster driven by instinct. He immediately broke through Sophie and Humphrey, bowling them out of the way in spite of Humphrey's strength. Zato knew that the backline members were the key to breaking apart the team, and charged at Neil like a silver rocket. The attack landed on Neil, who exploded in a wave of force, blasting Zato back. Belinda's perfectly timed bait-and-switch ability had teleported Neil to safety, leaving an illusionary trap for Zato. Ability, bait and switch, trap, special ability, dimension, illusion, cost, high mana, cooldown, 1 minute, current rank, bronze, 3.09%, effect, iron, teleport self or nearby ally to a nearby location. The subject is rendered invisible for a brief period, leaving behind a lifelike illusion. The illusion has no substance or aura. Effect, bronze. The illusion explodes when approached by an enemy, inflicting disruptive force damage. With Zato's first attack blunted, Sophie and Humphrey moved back in, while the others repositioned defensively. Zato was barely staggered by the explosion, suffering little worse than the arresting of his momentum. His metal body was resistant to the disruptive force released by the ability, which was more effective against magical defenses. It was resonating force damage that would be most effective against Zato's metal form. Humphrey knew this, and swung in with Shield Breaker, his resonating force special attack. Zato's body was incredibly resilient, even against Humphrey's special attacks. They were just threatening enough that Zato was forced to engage rather than ignore him. Even with his dragon armor, Humphrey would not hold up to Zato's sustained attacks. While he lacked Sophie's evasiveness, he had his own means of adding to his defensiveness. Humphrey's attacks were hard to avoid, and Humphrey himself was hard to hit, as there seemed to be 4 of him attacking at once with his huge dragon wing sword. One of the illusionary doubles was from Humphrey's own ability, Attack of the Mirage Dragon, which created a double each time he attacked. It didn't inflict any damage, but Humphrey could switch teleport with it, making his true attack unpredictable. The other 2 illusionary forms came from Belinda's familiar, Gemini. The living illusion could duplicate Humphrey's appearance, including his own illusionary double. Zato proved to have far more capability than merely the strength and fortitude that came with his metal body. His silvery body flowed like quicksilver, reshaping itself to produce a versatile slate of combat abilities. In close, he could produce spear-like protrusions from anywhere on his body, making unexpected attacks from unexpected angles. He also grew extra limbs, which he transformed into blades. At range, he could project metal spikes, which he threw past Sophie and Humphrey to target Neil, whose healing and shields were making up the difference between Zato and Humphrey's combat abilities. Sophie focused on intercepting the projectiles, as Humphrey held up Zato's forward movement. Zato then revealed that the spikes were far from his only trick. By plunging his hands into the ground, he could make spikes spring up at range, then explode them into splinters. That attack savaged Neil, appearing within his mana shield and exploding to send shrapnel digging into his body. Sophie and Humphrey redoubled their efforts to hold Zato's attention, while Neil tossed back a healing potion and followed up with a life bolt spell on himself. The one key advantage the team had was a curse levied on Zato by Belinda. It took multiple attempts to latch on past silver rank resistances. Fortunately, the cooldown didn't trigger until it finally landed. Ability, power lock, magic. Special ability, curse. Cost, high mana. Cooldown, 1 minute. Current rank, bronze, 2.47%. Effect, iron. When the target uses an ability, a random other ability also goes on cooldown, as if it had been used. If the target has no other abilities, the cooldown on the ability used is doubled, or if the ability has no cooldown, it becomes unavailable for a brief period.
Effect, bronze. The ability placed on cooldown consumes mana as if it had been used. If the ability had no mana cost, the target suffers disruptive force damage commensurate with the strength of the ability. Belinda's curse meant that Zato had to constantly change up his powers while waiting for others to become available. Many of his best abilities were locked out before he even had a chance to use them, and his combination attacks were muted as key steps were denied to him. It was a frustrating and effective impediment that was crucial to the team's survival. As even impaired, he was on the constant verge of overwhelming the team. While he was stuck using them almost at random, Zato had no shortage of powers to go through. Most were either some variation on shape-changing or firing metal projectiles. As the fight dragged on, he threw balls that exploded into shrapnel, turned his arms into razor whips, and his fingers into knives. Sophie desperately intercepted the storms of projectiles, thrown in the direction of their healer. As quick as the mercury Zato's body resembled, her flickering figure was a steadfast barrier for Neil. Many of the ranged attacks Zato threw out were wide-area shrapnel attacks, from which Sophie suffered a beating. Weak, multitudinous attacks were what more traditional defenders were best at, while Sophie specialized in dodging or negating powerful singular attacks. The peppering of attacks was precisely what she was worst at handling, which Zato quickly picked up on. He threw more and more shrapnel attacks at Neil, knowing that she would surrender her vaunted evasiveness to body block the shrapnel. She was able to blast many of the attacks away with her wind wave, but Zato was both sneaky and prolific with his attacks. Neil was hard-pressed to maintain shields and healing on both Sophie and Humphrey, but he smoothly churned out spell after spell, power after power, all with impeccable timing. Sophie's damage was too negligible to be a real threat to Zato, relegating her to the frustrating, but critical, role of meat shield. The one advantage of the constant attacks she was subjected to was that her powers grew stronger as she suffered attacks. Her karmic warrior power stacked up instances of two holy boons with every attack. One increased her power and spirit attributes, while the other reduced damage from subsequent attacks by the same person. As with the fight against Nicholas Hendren, she was stacking up enough instances to have a real impact. On top of the damage reduction, the Holy Boons also combined with another of her powers. Ability, Strong Soul, Mystic. Special Ability, Dimension. Cost, none. Cooldown, none. Current rank, Bronze, 3, 57%. Effect, Iron. Disruptive force damage dealt to you is reduced by a large amount. Other damage dealt to you is reduced by a small amount. Resistance to dimensional or astral effects and energies is increased. You can physically interact with incorporeal entities. Effect, Bronze. Increased curse, magic, and unholy resistance. You cannot receive unholy boons. Each instance of a holy boon on you increases the damage reduction of this ability. With each attack she received, Sophie's defenses grew. The Agent of Karma boon made her tougher as it increased her power attribute and strengthened her magical abilities by enhancing the spirit attribute. This affected both the damage reduction from the Good Karma boon and the damage reduction from the Strong Soul power. The layering bonuses didn't change Sophie's role as a meat shield for projectiles, but it made her better able to weather the storm. She was still hopelessly outmatched, however. Beyond the simple disparity of silver rank versus bronze rank powers and physical abilities, she had to deal with the resistances of rank disparity that Humphrey's hero's drive power allowed him to ignore. Humphrey had received the giant's might boon from Neil, adding weight to his special attacks that were the only real source of threat to their opponent. Zato was still stronger and tougher by a good margin, more so than the silver rank essence user they had fought. If not for his superior skill and the support of his team, Humphrey wouldn't have been able to force Zato's attention as much as he did. Zato would have already broken through and ravaged their back line. As resilience accumulated, Sophie was growing frustrated at her inability to have a real impact on the fight. Her power grew stronger as she soaked up more and more attacks, but frustration became impatience. She knew she was more than a match for Zato's skill, and, tired of passively intercepting attacks, she dashed in, determined to make an impact. Using her eternal moment power to massively accelerate, she unleashed a barrage of attacks. Her passive damage powers included resonating force damage, which had been amplified by the boosts to her spirit attribute. With her fleeting, time-stopped moment, she unleashed a furious flurry of strikes, all of which took effect as she returned to the normal passage of time. Zato's whole body rippled at the accumulated impact. He immediately retaliated by growing a half dozen extra arms that ended in hammers rather than fists. They swung in on Sophie, who could have dodged, but didn't. Instead, she used her moment of oneness power to absorb the blows and then deliver all the damage back with an elegant palm strike that punched a large indentation in his torso. Despite having a huge dent into his chest, Sophie saw Zato's grin and realized she had made a mistake. After baiting out her power to absorb a strong attack, Zato used one of his trump cards. His whole body exploded into a huge mass of shrapnel. Humphrey was the most physically resilient of the team, but he was also very close and very large, courtesy of Neil's spell. His armor softened the blow, but more than a few chunks of shrapnel pierced right through it. Sophie had her accumulated damage resistance, which was the only reason she survived. She was quick enough to shield her head with her arms, which were flayed along with the entire front of her body. Her accumulated damage reduction and light armor weren't even close to absorbing that level of damage, and her armor was shredded to ribbons, along with most of the skin on the front of her body. Clive, Neil, and Belinda didn't suffer the attack as the shrapnel stopped in the air, forming a perfect sphere, then reversed course. The metal shards flew back together to reform Zato's body. It wasn't just a matter of returning him to the state he had been in, however. Zato was unmarred and unharmed. He had repaired not just the damage from Sophie, but all the damage Humphrey had managed to build up. Humphrey was severely injured, and Sophie was a bloody wreck, barely standing upright. Their enemy was completely refreshed, his silver skin perfect and unmarred. Every bit of the damage they had done had been undone in a moment. "You really should have submitted," Zato told them imperiously. "Now you are going to suffer." Chapter 68. The Power of Friendship. Once again, the team's pinpoint timing salvaged a very poor situation from what would otherwise have been a total disaster. Sophie used the last of her strength to throw out a bloody fist, though barely able to lift an arm from which half the muscle had been shredded. As she did, Neil's bolster ability landed, enhancing the power the punch carried. Ability: deny the Reaper. Balance: special attack. Counter-execute: healing. Cost: moderate mana. Cooldown: 30 seconds. Current rank: bronze, 2, 16%. Effect: iron. Target enemy suffers a small amount of transcendent damage, and you are healed for a small amount. As a counter-execute effect, the damage and healing scale exponentially with your own level of injury. Effect: bronze. Provides a heal over time effect. Healing scales exponentially with your own level of injury at the time the ability was used. With Sophie's bedraggled state, plus the boosts to her spirit attribute, and the enhancement from Neil's spell, it was by far and away the most potent use of a power she had ever executed. The healing it provided was near miraculous, knitting together muscle and regrowing skin between one breath and the next. Even with perfect circumstances, though, it was not enough healing to fully restore her condition. The ongoing heal component of the ability started going to work, aided by a life bolt spell from Neil. Sophie's fist was buried in his chest, and she yanked it out with an unpleasant wet sound. Her hand glistened with liquid silver, mixed with a little blood, although that could easily have been hers. Her body began emitting an amber glow.
"Gift evolution!" Clive exulted through voice chat. "I'd put money down on it being a rank-jumping power."
"Celestine racial ability, astral affinity, has evolved to Boundary Breaker. Ability, Boundary Breaker. Transfigured from Celestine ability, astral affinity,
Increased resistance to dimension effects and astral forces. Dimension abilities have increased effect and transcendent damage is increased. Ignore the enhanced resistances derived from rank disparity. This only affects the enhanced resistance from being higher rank, not other sources of resistance. Ignore the enhanced aura suppression and aura suppression resistance derived from rank disparity. This only affects the enhanced effects from being higher rank, not the inherently superior strength of higher rank auras.
The rest of the team sent their congratulations, even as they kept fighting. But Sophie herself was conflicted. She had received what she needed most of all, though not from a triumph, but a costly mistake.
"It's not about the reward you earned," Humphrey told her. "It's about the lesson you learned."
Much of the wisdom Humphrey had to offer were sayings that had been drilled into him by his mother. This statement very much had the cadence of that, which mollified Sophie somewhat. She had come to respect Danielle a lot when Danielle helped her get a handle on some of her powers that were similar to Danielle's own. Humphrey found himself in an odd position in the wake of Zato's explosive power. He was both too damaged and not damaged enough. He needed healing to get back into a state ready to fight Zato, as a half-recovered state would quickly be punished. He did have his immortality power, but he was not so damaged that he wanted to use it. Even after her self-heal, though, Neil was focusing his healing on Sophie. Humphrey knew it was the right choice, given that Sophie could inherently suffer fewer hits than he could himself. He made a decision. He pulled a potion vial from his belt and downed the contents. It was a silver rank health tonic they had taken from Nicholas Hendren. The overranked potion gave Humphrey an overcharged burst of healing. The price was that the magic would linger, meaning the fight would be done one way or another before he could use another potion. It was the best compromise he could think of, not fully healing him, but letting him recover enough to keep up the fight while keeping immortality in his pocket. As for Zato, he had suffered the first true blow of the fight that inflicted real, lasting damage. His last attack had completely healed him from the slow build-up of damage he had sustained from the team's earlier attacks. The transcendent damage from Sophie's counter-execute, though, went through him like his body was made of water. It didn't care about his rank or the metal that had replaced his flesh. Not even the power the Builder had gifted him with could withstand that power. The odd pause following Sophie's strike was ended by Clive. He hadn't made a large impact on the fight, throwing out a few buff spells before drawing out ritual circles as fast as he could, which turned out to be pretty damn fast. He'd always been a strong ritualist, but months of throwing out combat rituals had honed his skills to a fine point. In this case, his circles empowered his weapons and reconfigured their damage from disruptive to resonating force. Having finished his preparations, the twin blast from his wand and staff was the starter's gun for the next phase of the fight. Jason was playing mouse to the Builder's cat. The frenzy of stampeding monsters fighting with cultists and constructs made it hard for the Builder to easily sense him. The vessel's senses had been enhanced, beyond what Thadwick had possessed, but to an entity of the Builder's power, even diamond-ranked senses would have felt like blindness. A seemingly incongruous aspect of auras was that the more powerful they were, the harder they were to detect if their owner didn't want them to be. The feeble aura of an iron ranker was easy to pick out, while the potent aura of a gold rank soul was easily hidden. The key was control, with a stronger soul able to exert more control over the strength radiating out of it. This was assuming that a person had an aura power, therefore meeting the minimum requirements to exert that control. As Farrah had once warned Jason, a powerful soul with no means to control it was unruly to the point of being dangerous. Jason's expertise with aura control was quite possibly the area in which he excelled the most, which was combined with an aura strength realms beyond the ordinary. It was a strength born of his close call with the elemental tyrant, his meeting with the gods, and, more than anything else, his soul battle against the Builder itself. The result was an aura strength more akin to a silver ranker than a bronze. Jason's expert control and formidable aura power combined with the ability Gordon granted of making his soul even harder to detect. The result was that even the enhanced silver rank sensors the Builder's vessel produced had a hard time picking out Jason's presence.
Hidden amongst the teeming monsters, Jason was not just a mouse, but a mouse with an invisibility cloak in a pile of other mice. Unfortunately, the Builder was a cat with a flamethrower. It had begun the chase with little understanding of its vessel's limitations, but it was a very quick study. It had gone from crude attacks to destructive waves of rippling earth spikes that maximized power and area with as little strain on the vessel as possible. There was an inevitable cost to repeatedly channeling power, the strain on the vessel beginning to show as it grew increasingly pale. It was an acceptable rate of decay, given that the Builder's design was already in motion. So long as Asano and his companions were kept from interfering, the situation would resolve itself without further intervention from his vessel. The Builder's powers all involved manipulating the physical material around it. Simply reshaping it had the least cost, thus the spike waves that were a simple reshaping of the stone underfoot. Imbuing materials with additional power was more costly. This ranged from imbuing it with disruptive force to harm incorporeal entities, to animating the material, like a short-lived construct creature. The effect that levied the greatest cost to the Builder's form was transmuting one material into another, such as stone into steel. The Builder was sweeping whole swathes of the battlefield in spike waves, even as its sensors probed for Jason. It didn't care what got in its way, be that monster, construct, or converted. Even the Builder's own cultists were mowed down ruthlessly as wedge-shaped chunks were cut out of the stampeding crush with every wave of impaling spikes. The Builder was single-minded and methodical in its pursuit of Jason, but Jason nonetheless took the effort to provoke it. Having one of the Shade's bodies move close enough to speak through allowed him to constantly harass the great astral being. "Do you have a name outside of just the Builder? It doesn't come across as imposing as you seem to think. It just makes you sound like an intergalactic brickie. Actually, I take it back. That sounds kind of awesome. Invaders from beyond the stars is done to death. A guy from beyond the stars who knocks up an outdoor dunny while unrepentantly flashing bumcrack? That's a fresh idea. You might want to write this down, mate. I'm giving you gold here. I will be giving you unimaginable torment soon enough." "Oh, nice! Solid villain line. Good job on the banter. You've already tried shaving chunks of my soul off like lemon zest, though, so I'm pretty sure I can imagine it. Having my friends kill me, though? That's a prick move. I'm pretty sure my friends are going to beat your friends, though. I am beyond your mortal imagining. I have no friends." "Well, that's just sad. Not because of the loneliness thing, although that too. You just admitted defeat." "There is no defeat. My will is inexorable." "Mate, this is a climactic battle, and I'm the only one rocking the power of friendship. You've got no chance. You better knock out a backstory flashback toot sweet, or it'll be a total walkover." As demonstrated when it sent Nicholas Hendren after the team, the Builder had some ability to track Jason's location through the bond to his familiar. For this reason, it tolerated Shade's presence without eradicating the familiar's body. Jason knew this as well as the Builder, but kept Shade nearby anyway. While he knew there was no goading the Builder any more than he already had, he needed the Builder to have at least some idea of his location. It allowed him to lead the Builder and his destructive power away from his team. Despite Sophie's heavy blow on Zato and a timely gift evolution to give her a greater impact on the fight, it had not been the turnaround moment that the team needed. While her attacks were more effective, she still needed to spend most of her time dealing with the projectiles Zato continuously hurled at Neil. Her power upgrade meant that she was able to deal with the attacks without taking the same level of damage, but it was still eating into time she would rather use to pile on damage. Belinda assisted Sophie in this regard, splitting her attention between keeping monsters off their backline and playing meat shield for Neil against Zato's projectile attacks. She had activated her warrior form power, counterfeit combatant, and was sporting heavy armor and a large shield, along with a long-handled warhammer. No matter how much damage they inflicted, Zato was the immovable object to their apparently stoppable force. Aside from the one gaping wound in his chest, which did not seem to impair his combat ability, even Humphrey's powerful attacks achieved little more than superficial dents. The more they attacked, the more their enemy seemed dishearteningly indestructible. Clive had entered the fray, blasting away with his ritual-enhanced weapons. While the results were visible, they were as minimal as everything else. Zato insultingly disregarded Clive's threat, continuing to hammer on Humphrey and Sophie while trying to land a decisive strike on Neil. The team was not without their own gains, with Neil's perception power giving them a slight edge. Its ability to see vulnerabilities was something he normally used for assessing the team's injuries, but it also spotted one of Zato's few vulnerabilities. "Parts of his body become fluid when he uses a shape-changing power," Neil alerted the others through voice chat. The ability to communicate without being overheard or needing to yell over other noises was a critical element of facilitating teamwork. "A few can time a disruptive force attack instead of a resonating one, and just the right moment, you'll do some extra damage." In spite of the team refining their attacks, the power gap remained. Even with Sophie's growing might, Zato was too strong, too tough, and boasted too many forms of attack. Even with the team's focus on keeping Neil safe, Zato's attacks would still sometimes get through and land some damage on the healer. The team retained more injuries, as Zato's damage started outpacing Neil's healing. The team's key cooldown powers were used at critical moments, not to swing the battle in their favor, but to keep it from getting away from them entirely. Humphrey's immortality, Belinda's full cooldown reset. Their last trump card was Neil's hero moment power, but it would cripple whoever it was used on when the power ended. Until they would get within striking range of finishing the job, it was a power that was off limits. Despair started to set in as they looked down the barrel of what seemed like Zato's inevitable victory. They could not deal enough damage. That gap was normally filled by Jason, but it was clear his powers would not work against Zato's silver body. In any case, Jason had his own overwhelming enemy to face.
"You really thought you could derail the Builder's design?" Zato taunted. He sensed that victory was close and tried to push his enemy's morale to the breaking point. "We have been planning this longer than any of you have been alive. You thought to stop the efforts of years with your meager abilities and pathetic ideals. You think that you possess the power to undo all that we have wrought. You won't just fail here. You won't die. Your souls will be taken. You will each become weapons against everything you love and all you sought to protect."
Humphrey's weariness and the seeming futility of his efforts had eaten away at his spirit. He rallied his determination, but Zato's words stirred up fear of becoming exactly what Zato said, a weapon against his own people. Exhausted, he watched, sword hanging limply from his hands, as Zato and Sophie engaged in a wild struggle. As her power grew over time, she had been taking on more of Humphrey's frontline role. Humphrey told himself to move, to lift up his sword and keep going, but his arms wouldn't move. Just as he was on the verge of giving up, his mother, Danielle, appeared out of nowhere and slapped him hard across the face. He stumbled, startled, as she glared at him in fury.
"What is your name?" she demanded, her voice hammering down with righteous anger.
He looked at her in confusion, then his eyes went wide. His shoulders firmed as he stood up straight, resolve returning to his posture. He had not recovered stamina or mana. He had not been healed. His immortality was long gone, used and used again when Belinda reset it. He had received no fresh boons, gained no extra power. All that changed was his resolve. Humphrey's head swung on a pivot, from his mother to Zato, who ignored him while trying to overwhelm Sophie. Humphrey's gaze locked onto the enemy, as his mother turned back into Belinda, and returned to where the familiars were holding the line against the monsters. Humphrey hefted his dragon sword in one hand and hurled it, spinning end over end to clang off Zato's head before dissolving into nothing. The attack did not harm Zato, but it got his attention, and he wheeled on Humphrey. Zato knew that his victory was imminent. He knew that the adventurers were no match for his power. They were a spent force, an arrow at the end of its flight. Their situation was hopeless, their defeat certain. But for a single fleeting moment, passing as quickly as it came, something he saw in Humphrey's eyes sent a chill to the very core of his soul.
"My name," Humphrey announced, stepping forward one slow step at a time, "is Humphrey Francis Eugene Geller. My family have been adventurers for 16 generations. We aren't alchemists or weaponsmiths on the side. We aren't ritualists or scholars.
For hundreds of years we have done one thing and one thing only. Protect our world from people like you. You say that we aren't ready, that we can't match your years of preparation. We have been preparing for you for 16 generations. And do you know what we've been building to for all that time?
Humphrey raised his arm to point at Zato, and a sword appeared in his hand. Not the heavy, powerful dragon sword, but the light, razor-wing sword, aimed right at his enemy.
We've been building, Humphrey said. To me.
Amber light flooded out of Humphrey as he stood, sword leveled at Zato. The team and Zato both stood stock still.
Gift evolution? Neil wondered through the voice chat. Humphrey had all his gift evolutions. Is it even possible for that to happen again?
No, Clive said, his voice dazed as he looked on. But I don't think he cares.
The amber light shining out of Humphrey turned blood crimson.
Human racial ability, attack of the Mirage Dragon, has evolved to hero sacrifice. You have evolved an already evolved ability, breaching the limitations of your soul's potential. You will experience a brief surge of enhanced power, followed by a significant backlash. Ability, hero sacrifice. Transfigured from evolved ability, attack of the Mirage Dragon. Previous effects of racial ability, attack of the Mirage Dragon, have been lost. Sacrifice your health to enhance the power of your special attacks.
I'll use Hero's Moment, Neil said through the voice chat. It allowed the team to communicate silently as no one moved in the strange stillness.
Humphrey and Zato stood facing one another, eyes locked.
If you're going to crap out soon anyway, Neil said.
No, Humphrey responded firmly.
Red tights.
No, Sophie exclaimed. I can't just leave you here alone. You'll all be dead by the time...
It's the only way, Humphrey cut her off. We'll hold until you get back.
But...
Run!
Humphrey roared out loud. The spell was broken. He and Zato lunged at each other, Zato sprouting four extra arms, each ending in razor-sharp axe blades. He lashed out with the full speed of his silver rank attributes and the enhanced strength of his metal body. Humphrey's skill had been a match for Zato's the entire fight. Just as he had said, he was trained from birth for the life of an adventurer. 16 generations of knowledge and experience had been poured into him, the Geller family a foundry for the strongest steel. Martial techniques, combat philosophies, and insights formed by centuries of adventurers, refined and distilled into the latest generation of a grand tradition. From the beginning, Humphrey had been pitting his lesser strength against Zato's greater, caught up in the idea of needing as much power as he could muster. Once he accepted that he could never muster enough power, the tenor of their combat entirely transformed. Six blades came at Humphrey. He parried four and dodged two, with a grace that he had spent the whole fight surrendering in the name of strength. He didn't have Zato's speed, but his technique and economy of motion more than compensated, his razor-wing sword moving in an elegant dance. Not only did he evade the attacks, but he immediately retaliated, raking his sword against Zato's body. Blood seeped from Humphrey's eyes as he used his new hero sacrifice gift. But for all the adventurer's grand declarations, Zato had not grown any weaker. Humphrey's sword was lighter and less powerful than his dragon sword, barely slicing a shallow line across his enemy.
That's it? Zato mocked. All that big talk, light shining out like you're some mighty hero, and that's all you can muster. You'll have to do a lot better than that.
I'm working on it, Humphrey shot back, his sword continuing to snake over Zato.
Ability. Relentless assault. Might. Special attack. Counter-execute. Healing. Cost, low stamina. Increasing with each attack. Cooldown, 30 seconds. Current rank, bronze, 2, 16%. Effect, iron. Each use of this attack in quick succession increases the damage of this attack. Damage is of the same type caused by a normal attack. Effect, bronze. After a threshold of successive attacks is reached, escalating resonating force damage is dealt with each attack.
In the brief moment that Zato and Humphrey had been clashing, Sophie stood ready to run as Neil used his bolster spell on Belinda, enhancing her next power. Belinda then used her mirror magic ability to copy the spell, using the bolstered version of Neil's own bolster spell back on him.
Neil was unable to use Bolster on himself, but Belinda's power to mimic spells not only let him do so, but made it doubly effective with the bolster enhancing itself. He then used the double-strength bolster to cast a massively empowered hero's moment spell, which he used not on Humphrey, but on Sophie. It was what she had been waiting for. She erupted from the team, flooded with a terrifying power. She fled the site of the battle, vanishing into the ongoing monster brawl around them. Humphrey continued to clash with Zato, lashing out again and again. Blood ran from his eyes, nose, and ears as he chained his relentless assault attacks. He could taste the blood, copper in his mouth, as he enhanced every attack with his new power. The escalating cost of the special attack increasingly sapped his stamina, as hero sacrifice sapped his health. He ignored both as he continued his flowing stream of attacks, cutting away at Zato, not with a hammer, but with a scalpel. Despite this, his attacks still had limited effect and would continue to do so until he reached his special attack's resonating force threshold. Despite Humphrey's skill, the damage was not a one-way street. His own attacks were hurting himself as much as they were Zato, yet he did not relent to use his new power. Zato was raining his own attacks down on Humphrey, who was coming off worse from the exchange. It was only a continuous stream of healing and shields from Neil that allowed him to struggle on. Humphrey's fluid expertise and rapid strikes reached the resonating force threshold of his special attack in fairly short order. The harsh reality, though, was that even with his new ability and the surge of power that came from awakening it, was simply not enough. Zato's body remained all but impervious, even as the special attack escalated to potent levels. Zato was taking dents, but nothing he couldn't shrug off. Zato realized that he had been dragged into Humphrey's pace, suddenly remembering that he was the one with the power. He was the one with the advantage. Sophie was gone, and Humphrey's attacks were all show, with no genuine threat behind them. With that realization, Zato turned his attention once more to the healer. Once Neil was dealt with, the fight was as good as over. Zato left Humphrey behind and dashed at Neil, only to be struck with the reality of his own. Humphrey was part of a team. Clive's juxtaposition spell swapped Neil and Humphrey's positions, leaving Zato once again facing off against Humphrey, whose special attack sequence continued unabated. While the team's big-ticket powers had been spent, they still had a variety of tricks up their sleeve that could buy them precious moments, whether for Humphrey's attack to grow stronger or for Sophie to come back. Chapter 69 A War of Stolen Moments. Sophie was dashing through the camp like a spectre, swift, ghostly, and untouchable. She ended up running along the inside of the wall and onto the top, sprinting along it to reach her maximum speed. With a double-enhanced hero's moment empowering every speed ability she had, even she felt like her breakneck speed was wild and precarious. She did not relent on the pace, whatever she felt, as speed was the only objective. Ability. Avatar of speed. Swift. Special ability. Cost, none. Cooldown, none. Current rank, Bronze, 3, 86%. Effect, Iron. Your movement abilities have increased effect and reduced stamina and mana cost. Effect, Bronze. Periodically gain instances of momentum while moving at speed. The greater the speed, the faster instances are accrued. With every moment, more and more stacks of momentum were gathered. She kept moving, determined to drain every drop out of the hero's moment spell. How are you holding up? She asked through voice chat.
Quite well, thank— Ah!
Jason's voice came through.
Good to know, but I think she meant us, Clive said. We're doing the flasher move you came up with.
The what? Jason asked.
The guy with the red tights, Clive said.
The flash, not the flasher, Jason said.
Also, they're not tights.
They sounded like tights, the way you described them, Neil chimed in.
I think we're all a little busy for this conversation, Belinda yelled.
Jason had given up taunting with Shade. The Builder had thinned out the monsters, and even his own forces, as he scoured the camp for Jason. It was becoming increasingly hard to both stay ahead of the Builder and clear of the team, with more than a couple of near misses as the Builder came close to snatching him up. He had been injured several times and had been using the monsters as a source of life drain, randomly laying out afflictions as he went. That was becoming harder and harder as the builder continued to thin out the herd. The close calls were getting closer with every passing moment. Frustrated that the greatest contribution he could make was running away, he desperately willed the team to success. The tyranny of rank was an inescapable reality. For all that Humphrey's morale was renewed and reinvigorated, his body was not. He had reached the point that little more than will alone kept him moving. His body was ravaged by Zato's attacks and his own ability in equal parts. The team's bag of tricks was running low, and Humphrey's stamina had reached its limit. His attacks had finally started doing real damage, but while his spirit was willing, his body was spent. He stumbled, faltering, breaking the chain of attacks he had almost miraculously maintained through nothing but muscle memory and willpower. Zato had taken some real hits, and a magic tattoo appeared on his body, shining brightly before dimming. Belinda recognized it as the upgraded version of her own magic tattoo that reset the cooldown of an ability. Hers had disappeared with her ascension to bronze rank, and she was chilled as she saw it appear on Zato. She knew what power he wanted to use again. Every member of the team had a gold spirit coin to use in absolutely clutch moments. Steeling herself, Belinda slipped it into her mouth to ensure the special attack that followed would work. Ability, power thief, magic. Special attack, boon, affliction, magic. Cost, very high mana. Cooldown, 5 minutes. Current rank, bronze, 3, 32%. Effect, iron. Make a magical ranged attack. You become able to use a random active use ability of the target, who cannot use that ability until you have done so. It can be an essence ability or the inherent ability of a magic creature, but functions at your rank, not the rank of the target. You may not use the ability more than once. This ability cannot be used again until the copied ability is used. If not used within 24 hours, the copied ability is lost, restoring the target's ability to use it. Effect, bronze. You can choose a specific ability of the target. If the target does not have that ability, a random ability is stolen instead. Zato roared with fury as light flashed from Belinda's hand, striking Zato and zipping back to her in an instant. He had just used one of his biggest trump cards, making the explode and heal power that damaged Sophie so badly available once more, only to feel it snatched away. Zato lunged at Belinda, still under the effects of her counterfeit combatant power, clad in armor and holding a long-handled warhammer. In his fury, Zato didn't notice the gold rank aura emitting from Belinda, who met his charge with the hammer with gold rank strength behind it. The blow staved in Zato's head, yet even that wasn't enough to do more than stagger the metal man. Belinda, by contrast, felt the coin's power drain away and collapsed under the weight of her own armor. Humphrey was too exhausted to move, and with Belinda sharing his fate through the use of her spirit coin, Clive and Neil were suddenly left vulnerable. Zato looked grotesque, with the huge dent deforming his head. But he was only staggered for a short time. In spite of his hideous disfiguration, he fought on. While Zato recovered, Onslow and Stash moved from the edge of the fight where they had been on monster shepherding duties, placing themselves between Zato and the last members of their team, both present and standing. Zato began to move on the valiant familiars, but he didn't get to make his attack as Sophie returned to the battlefield in a blur of motion. The hero's moment spell was on the verge of ending, and she stuffed a gold spirit coin in her mouth as she arrived in front of Zato. Between Neil's double-enhanced spell and the gold coin, only her temporarily gold-rank power attribute was enough to hold her body together, with the absurd power coursing through it. She ignored the pain, slapping her palm into Zato's chest. All the momentum she had built up over the duration of Neil's spell was triggered. The power multiplied again and again and again by the empowering effects layered onto her. The resulting attack had so much power that simply unleashing it made the air crash like thunder. Momentum, boon, magic, stacking. When making an attack, all instances are consumed to inflict resonating force damage.
Multiple instances can be accumulated, and instances are lost quickly while not moving.
The seemingly indestructible Zato exploded into a rain of liquefied metal.
You have defeated Zato.
Jason grinned, but he knew that his true contribution started now. His team had done their part, and all they needed was time. It was up to Jason to buy them that time. He gave up hiding and appeared before the builder, who was staring at the tower with a rare display of emotion on the vessel's face. It wasn't rage, but affront. The great astral being was less confused by the success of the lowly mortals than it was by their temerity in standing in its path. Jason did so literally, planting his feet on the ground between the builder and the tower.
What did I tell you? Jason said. The power of friendship. Your friends will be the ones to kill you still.
You get your shot first, mate, Jason said. Your opponent is right here.
You cannot harm me.
Should be an easy one for you, then.
Pleasure is a mortal concept, the builder mused. Even in these vessels, I have only felt it for no more than a few fleeting moments across a span of time longer than your former species has existed. I think I will take pleasure in watching you suffer.
I do aim to please, Jason said, drawing his sword. Shall we?
Shade's body spread out from Jason to surround the builder, although Jason kept one in reserve. The builder could easily damage incorporeal creatures, and, assuming he got out alive, Jason would need one of Shade's bodies to reconstitute the rest. Jason, the builder, and all the remaining monsters felt the shift in the tower's magic, starting from the base. With that, the builder lost interest in Jason and started striding in the direction of the tower. As they moved into the mid-range of bronze, the team had broken through the limitations that were part of human, or human-adjacent, existence. They could run faster than any Olympic sprinter, with stamina that would make a marathon runner shudder. Sophie and Belinda were slumped on top of Onslow's shell, as the familiar zoomed up the ramp on a cushion of air. Belinda was barely conscious, while Sophie was barely alive. Neil's magical intervention had been the only thing that had prevented her body from giving out after the power she had sent coursing through it. Humphrey was in no better a state. His new power had brought with it a surge of strength, but as that passed, the lingering soul damage had left him debilitated. He was slung over the back of Stash in the shape of a Heidel, desperately clinging to consciousness as he sought to see the task to completion. Neil was running, along with the Dragon Tooth warriors Humphrey had managed to summon before collapsing entirely. His own summon was too slow to keep up and had been left at the bottom to block anyone who tried to follow them up. Clive also sat atop Onslow, carefully maintaining a ritual circle around the crystal cube floating in front of him. It was a device he had cobbled together from materials originally intended to open a path back home, a plan rendered moot by the changes to the astral space's ambient magic. He had repurposed the materials to create a device that would invert the tower's magic. It was a process Jason had insisted on referring to as reversing the polarity. The function of the device was straightforward enough. They simply had to take it from the bottom of the tower to the top. If that was all there was to it, Clive could have simply handed it off to Sophie and let her run up the outside of the tower. The trick was that Clive's cobbled-together device was made from improvised components and worked in accordance with theories he was only just beginning to understand. In order to keep it operational, Clive needed to keep it encircled in a magical diagram that he needed to alter in real time as they moved the device. It was a ludicrous feat, only possible because of Clive's power that let him draw ritual circles in the air, combined with his incredible skills as a ritualist. Even then, only months of drawing out rituals in combat had honed his reflexes enough to keep up. It took every ounce of his concentration as they made the way up the spiraling ramp inside the tower.
The builder has to be coming, right?
Belinda asked. Her coin